Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And here we sit, beautiful downtown Sherman Oaks, California, at the studios of LA Talk Radio. This is The Writer's Block. I am Jim Christina, your host, in studio tonight with the lovely, charming, talented, and bubbly.
I'm back.
Bobby Jean Bell. She's back.
I'm back.
Yay. We missed you. Feeling better, I hope.
Oh, much better. Thank you.
Oh, good. Good. She had a little issue with her chair tonight.
So I did.
Told her I wasn't going to say anything, but I had to. I can't let you walk on that one.
You would have had to have been here to see that.
I know, huh? How'd your show this morning go?
Oh, it was great fun on Campfire Cafe. Our guest was Orin Friesian, and he's very well known in bluegrass circles. And we talked about a documentary film he's been involved with and its companion CD called Home on the Range, which shares the really interesting story on the original writing of the iconic Western song that was originally written in 1872 and known as My Western Home.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was, we just really enjoyed having Orin with us. It was really interesting.
Must have been fascinating.
It was.
For our audience that doesn't know, Bobby Jean does two radio shows on on Thursdays. One is at 10 o'clock on Pacific Time, which is 12 o'clock in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Campfire Cafe with Gary Holt.
Correct, on the Equestrian Legacy Network.
Equestrian Legacy Network. And then, of course, it's 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time. She comes into LA Talk Radio Studios, and she sits here with me.
It's so fun. I get to bookend my Thursday with radio and great guests.
I know, huh? And we were just talking before the show, and August is just chock full of great guests.
I know.
And it's just been, and I'm glad you're back, because tonight we have a really good one. So we're going to
Wasn't this a great book?
I know, huh? We're going to get to him just as soon as we can. We're going to run through some commercials real quick, and then we're going to get started. Of course, The Writer's Block is brought to you by Tuscany Bay Books. And Tuscany Bay, we are there to help the new writer, the Indian writer, get started in the process of getting his book moving and ready for market as far as editing, proofreading, formatting. Just about everything it takes to get your book on the market. It's going to cost you, you're going to pay a publisher, and you're going to pay a proofwriter and an editor a lot of money to get your books done. We at Tuscany Bay do it for a lot less. And you get your first 20 books free, and then you get your first 2 hours of editing for free. So something to look into. And we are at 805-795-3165 or www.tuscanybaybooks.com. And also buy Out West. And Out West is, of course, your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and the Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel. Boots, hats, fashion accessories, home decor, books, music, and general merchandise. National brands include Scully Leather, Rock Mount Ranchwear, Dan Post Boots, and America West Handbags, just to name a few. So you want to shop online at www.scv, which is Santa Clarita Valley, scvoutwest.com. Or you can call their toll-free number at 877-340-9378. And if you are interested in their concert series, which is the fourth Friday of every month, they have really good named entertainment right there in the theater in New Hall. The number there is direct line at 661-347-9700. The tickets are $25, and if you tell them that you heard about it here on The Writer's Block, they're $20.
Yep.
So that's a good deal. Excellent, excellent deal. Mm-hmm. And, of course, since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service. TFM Truckload, that is the best in the industry. Not only are they exceptionally good at what they do, but they strive to make your full truckload shipping experience unparalleled. Call TFM Truckload today at 844-653-7789. Ask for Mike Matruski and tell him you heard it on The Writer's Block, and TFM will have a little something extra for you. And if you are an LTL shipper, getting your freight moved your way the most expedient way possible is what you want. one-stop shop, no hassle. Call Target Freight Management today. Their customized program or traffic movement program is the finest in the industry. So call at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL and call them today. And I got a message from Mike, and he had lunch with a billionaire the other day.
Oh, my gosh.
And he goes, I can't believe I was sitting there with a billionaire. That's me in 10 years. Okay, yeah. I probably agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to tonight's guest. This is a fascinating read that we just finished, and I can hardly wait to get him on the air and get him talking about this book. We have tonight on the writer's block a writer that is actually, wow. Great writers are really, they intrigue me. And Bobby Jean's over there grinning from ear to ear. Patrick Brown is classically trained as a musician. He discovered his love of writing back when he was in elementary school. His keen observational skills, scathing wit, sense of humor shine through in his plots, settings, and memorable characters. Having worked in several fields, including the arts, civil rights, and politics, Patrick has broadened his knowledge of human nature and frequently transforms personalities and situations into captivating stories and not-so-subtle social commentary. Patrick is planning several more books featuring murdered justices. That's the name of the book we'll be talking about tonight. Murdered Justices' leading lady, Maggie Lyon. And he's also working on a collection of short stories where he can find the time. He is regularly contributes articles to One More Thing to Read, www.writtenbypatrickbrown.com, in order to stay in touch with readers as he shares anecdotes from daily life, including his efforts to tame a large overgrown garden in an inviting woodland sanctuary. He lives in Amboy, Washington, which is right up by Battlefield, which is right off Interstate 5 area. It's nothing but blackberry vines and trees, bears and beavers. It is a real interesting place to live. Would you please welcome to the writer's block, Patrick Brown? Patrick, are you with us?
I am with you. Thank you so much. What a nice introduction.
Well, you know what? You wrote it.
I know who wrote it. Yes, that is true about the blackberry.
I know. They're horrible, aren't they? Oh, my. I lived in Washington for a lot of years, and blackberries are everywhere.
They're so yummy.
They are, but you know what? You got to get into stickers.
I know. They're not, but that's the beauty of anything tasty is have to get past the thorns, right, Patrick?
In Washington and Oregon, they are considered a weed. Are they not, Patrick?
Yes,
and they're impossible to get rid of.
There's a whole exhibit at the county fair that but tomorrow I'm going to pick some because they are starting to peak. So.
Oh, and they are so juicy and so yummy.
Well, I know a little bit about overgrown garden. When we moved into our house back in the late 1990s, it was totally overgrown. The previous owner had been a landscape person, and he'd actually used the yard to harvest plants from, to take to others. And the yard was way over anything we could handle, Patrick. And I thought, now I know why Adam and Eve left the garden. It was really because they just couldn't handle it anymore.
I didn't realize when we got here that, well, I knew that a chainsaw my future, but I didn't really know that I was going to have multiple chains, and I'm going to have to establish a relationship with the local hardware store.
Oh, absolutely. And a credit account. If you want to call and talk to Patrick tonight, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that is 818-602-4929. Patrick, we have both read your most recent novel, Murdered Justice. And yes. I have to say that it was impossible to stop reading it.
I had a lot.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. That makes me happy. That's the nicest thing you could say.
I could say something nicer, but I don't know what. But I have to tell you that it really kept my interest. The characters were phenomenal, and Bobby and I were talking earlier in the evening about how you've established so early on the cast of the characters and what they were doing in Los Angeles, and it just worked out perfect.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I always like to hear that because that's, it's one of those things that it's working for me from my standpoint, but I don't know if it's working for the reader.
Yeah.
Because as you read it and keep rereading and pick up where you left off from the last writing session, and you're always hoping that that's what you've done, is that you've made it readable.
But right, right.
Sometimes you get involved because it's like your own children. You think they're brilliant, but somebody else may not think they're that brilliant.
Well, you know, I also got my hand in writing somewhat, and I've noticed a lot of writers, and not you, you know, which was going to be the comment, but a lot of writers tend to overdo it, to you know, give you too much intro, give you too much information, and then where do they go from there?
Mm-hmm,
it's
right.
Just like, uh-oh.
Right. Well, you know, when I read, I don't take any notes. I just read as a reader to enjoy, even though I know a conversation is coming and I need to really have some specifics. But that's just how I approach every book that we do for this show. So I always, when I'm done reading, then I go back, and I needed to write down all of the names that were at the original weekend and the dinner that this book kicks off with, very important weekend in this beautiful old, vintage, wonderful Hollywood kind of home that you set it in. And I reread the whole weekend after having, you know, read the book. And I was like, oh my gosh, she gives us a little clue here that I missed. Oh, here's another little clue over here that I missed. And kind of going back and reacquainting myself with the characters as you present them,
right,
in the beginning, made for me an even more delectable delight of,
right,
the book,
right,
actually.
I noticed that he fed the characters out kind of like braising wire, kind of like
welding
wire,
a little bit at a time.
And as you you know, you got in, you go, well, what the hell is that woman doing back there in that guest house so long?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh well, she showed up. Okay, fine. Now where's her husband? Nobody knows where he is. You know, and it's just like, and then you get to the middle of the book and you say, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Then you have to go back and go, okay, who was at the party, who wasn't at the party?
Exactly.
Who showed up, who didn't show up?
And who didn't look at each other, and who, you know. So you give us all kinds of fascinating things. So since we've now just talked much more than normal, we want to hear you talk.
Yeah. Okay, Patrick.
So tell us. The writing process,
speak.
Which is I had to go back and reread the same thing and think, well, who was where, and can I account for her?
Yeah, I wonder.
Him,
yeah.
Because he's disappeared, and how all that played out. So, yes, that's very much how it works out. I had an idea where I wanted to go, which I'm currently working on the next book in the series.
Uh-huh.
And that case, that person that I thought was going to do it didn't do it. But that was kind of revealed to me after we got to the end. So I had to go back and check my outline, which then involved a lot of rewriting because I would have given it way too soon.
Right. So why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about Murdered Justice and kind of what goes on.
Kind of brief mini plot.
Yeah, a little mini plot.
Well, you've got Maggie Lyon, and I love her because, first of all, I think that there should be more roles for women in film. Not that I'm pushing that for this, but it would be lovely,
yeah,
wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
But I do think that there are not enough characters of women who are playing those parts, or that are written for women who are over 40, who have that experience. They came of age later on in the 70s and whatnot, so they know that they can break a glass ceiling, but there's so many setbacks. So Maggie has been held back by a lot of people throughout her life, but she finally got set up trying to become Woodward and Bernstein in a man's world in the city room that was where she knew she was never going to get to move ahead. So then she goes on a cruise, and her travel agent books her on some kind of crazy cruise, on a chef's cruise of all things, and she meets a man and becomes his ghostwriter and his wife. So she learns all about food, and that's how she lands in this opportunity after years of becoming a feared and revered food critic.
Right.
She asked to write a magazine article about an exclusive weekend about a new up-and-coming chef.
Right.
So she lands in this elite world, which she's comfortable in, but she's also not part of. And so she's able to look at it with a little bit of a sarcastic yeah, tone.
She's a wonderful character.
So she kind of makes fun. She's kind of a smartass. But
yeah,
she's
she
professional.
Is.
But she does see the foolishness for what it is. Mm-hmm. And she sees how all these people interact, and she's watching because she has no interest except to cover a chef, but she finds herself getting roped into the expectations of the weekend. So she goes on an all-girl shopping spree one afternoon. Then she's called to dinner, and she's sitting there with a host who doesn't know when to stop talking, which is a little mean. And then so she gets into that, and then, of course, a Supreme Court justice has walked in the door, and he's older, and he doesn't make it through the weekend.
Right.
So she believes what she's told, what the people have told. Well, everybody's told just to go on, it's natural causes, but then as she listens to news reports, she decides that something else is going on mm-hmm. that doesn't add up with what she witnessed herself.
Right.
So she uses those skills that she was trained in as an investigative journalist and puts together and starts doing some research. But she's not perfect, so she does make mistakes.
She's very human.
I love the comments.
She's very human, I think.
I love the comments also. You're a food writer.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really liked that... that although she was a food writer, this wasn't necessarily a book about food. You know, that was kind of the premise and how she got in. But, you know, we don't want to give away any surprises.
No.
We don't
no.
want to let people know whether the chef did it or not, you know,
no.
kind of thing. But
the butler.
You really take us on a wonderful ride. When Jim and I were talking earlier today, I said, you know, in the beginning it was slow, but I don't mean that in a negative way. You were setting the scene, and you were introducing the characters, and you were creating the atmosphere, and we were getting to know them, and then we speed up a little bit, and then we speed up a little bit, and I can't go to sleep, and I got to read more. You know, we hit a plateau, and you take a breath, and then there's more, and then the last, I don't know, 45 pages, you just like don't breathe.
Yeah, you
know?
Just keep turning, and it's just going, wow, wow, oh my God, really? Basement?
And what is this about popes and cardinals?
Yeah,
and
I know.
Like,
where?
How did all that come in? And even you, Maggie says, well, it's like out of a Dan Brown book, you know, and we know what you're referring to.
Right, right, right.
And you just give us all kinds of richness of texture, you know, to the story.
Well, thank you. I feel like everybody should get their money's worth when they read a book. So,
well, yeah, yeah, you know.
Really, my father said when Moral Ambiguity came out in 2011, he goes, I like the book, not my thing, but wow, there's a lot in there. And I said, mm-hmm. well, I just felt like, you know, if you're going to buy a book, you might as well get a really good story out of it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And lots of stories within stories. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was full of surprises, right, Jim?
Yes, it was. Oh, it was loaded with surprises. I mean, the actual murder was a total shock to me.
Now, I saw from your biography that you were at one time the director of the Getty House.
I was, yes.
Yeah, so you've set this kind of in, you know, obviously in Los Angeles. So can you just tell a little bit about how your time in Los Angeles impacted you as a writer?
Yes, because I didn't sit down at some of those dinners, but I did witness the gatherings of those dinners because they were diplomats, and you, of course, had, you know, international figures and heads of state and possibly a cardinal or whatever coming to dinner. And so I saw how I was able to witness the arrival of those guests, which made it very easy to write about because mm-hmm. these are not based on anybody, but... You know, I've seen that kind of personality walk in, that confident business person walk in with the person who has probably a lot of secrets.
Well, don't they? Once you get that big, I think you have a lot of secrets.
Well, you know, it's very interesting because I was having a discussion over the weekend, and we were talking about, a celebrity that passed away a few years ago who was involved in a little bit of scandal, and one of the dinner guests said, oh, well, that he was completely innocent of all that. And I said, I don't know, because there's always a publicist and there's always somebody that makes everybody look more innocent than
right.
what's going on. So
right.
I said, so they make them much more fun to write about when you start to expose fictional characters who look like real characters.
Right. Well, you put this Supreme Court judge together. It looks to me like a composite of all of them.
What did
you name him? Scarpetti?
Yeah, tell us about our star that doesn't make it through the weekend.
Oh, Justice Scarpia. Oh, poor Justice
right,
Scarpia. He had a lot of issues, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's ruled on every side of the fence, so he's one of those loose cannons on the court, and so you never really can, you really can't peg him to a political party, which is very good because they're supposed to be impartial. But
right.
I started writing this right after the death of Scalia, and it was one of those things that I thought, ah, what if? But I left it on the desk for a while. I didn't pick it up. I just thought, oh, that's an interesting thing. And a friend of mine who is an author, Lonnie Grendis, had suggested that I put my hand to writing a mystery, and I did happen to have a book called Writing Murder. So I had that out on the table, and it moved around from room to room, and I'd glance at a few chapters, and it's full of essays on how to write murder. And so I thought, well, this will be kind of an experiment. I'll see how it goes. And then it kind of progressed, and I was having fun with it. And then it got to be more, and I got a little more serious about it. But it was one of those things that I used to work for the ACLU, so, of course, you're dealing with Supreme Court cases a lot. I mean, in the line of work, I raised money for them. I wasn't a lawyer or anything, but you're always aware as an employee what's going on. And it was just kind of fun to see a personality kind of evolve out of that whole thing. But we don't really hear from him, except that he's a man who seems to like food and not like a lot of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he likes his women, too.
Well, we don't know that right away.
Not right away. Oh, I didn't give away a plot twist, did I?
Well, I also read in this really fun article that was from by Trina Turk, the Larchmont. She writes a column about things that happen in the Larchmont, California area, and that you were also inspired by the line, "No Englishman would dream of dying in someone else's home."
Oh, yes, that's Maggie Smith from Downton Abbey.
Yeah. That's also cool. The person that dies in this isn't, you know, like one of the owners or guests, you know, is the owner of the home or his girlfriend. It's, you know, a house guest.
Supreme Court judge.
Supreme Court judge.
Well, and I think it's so interesting because not that people are incompetent in positions, but just how the people who are in charge of moving a body and who are in charge of then getting guests out, who are trying to choreograph some dignity and some secrecy at the same time,
right.
How they just kind of bungled the whole thing.
Right. Well, they did. And it amazed me that Maggie picked up item by item by item as she was watching more and more of the news, mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. what was coming out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute.
What time?
There was no coroner there. Wait a minute.
What time did they say? Wait a minute.
I never saw any priests and cardinals going into that house.
Oh, but then I was shopping. And then I was, you know.
So it was a great job.
Just a great job. So
it's not surprising that you've written a winner, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate that very much.
And I'm happy
she's coming, that Maggie's coming back. Did you, I know you just chatted a little bit about her. How did you come to find her? How did you meet Maggie?
Her name kind of came to me. Maggie came first, and I liked that. And then I just, she's around my age, so I kind of relate to her as far as experience. But I think she's going to perpetually be the same age. I don't think she's going to age very much over the course of
the beauty of fiction.
She'll probably just grow up like 3 or 4 months at a time.
Sure.
But she's somebody that, she's kind of a combination of friends that I've had over the years that are so remarkable and so wonderful, but are still so real and not fake, but also she's quite clever, but probably a little, you know, she's not given as much credit for what she can do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's what's going to happen with her throughout the series, is that in the second book that I'm working on, Where It Is Right Now, she's going to be on Andrew Campton's show more often. She's going to be more of a partner with him, trying to find things out, but she's still, as smart as she is, she still second-guesses herself because of the one great mistake she makes in Murder Justice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never quite confident that she's got it all figured out the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also like her agent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rena.
They're going to babble a lot in the second book.
Are they? Well, it would seem that they. That's okay with an agent. This. I mean, somehow, you know. But I enjoyed what she brought to the story, and scene with her also.
She really did.
Yeah.
It seems like Maggie. Towards the front of the book, after you explained that, you know, she went for so long and then she went on the cruise and met her husband, and he turned out to be a world famous chef.
Yeah,
what was his name? I'm sorry, I do not remember. I can't remember.
Oh, Mark Mario.
Right.
He has so many. Von Heflin Schrader.
Yes, right. Yes.
And he was like, and she was like totally buried in his persona for the longest time. And when she started breaking free, I think is when they started just spending more and more and more time apart.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's going to come up in the second book as well, with how they have to talk, because I couldn't leave them not talking.
Right.
It would be kind of ridiculous not
right.
to have some conversation, but it's not comfortable. It's very uncomfortable for them to have to discuss, because they've been more pals than they've ever been, I guess, romantic.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But just a great story. I applaud you. It's just a wonderful story.
So I have one last question to ask, because you leave us with a real cliffhanger at the last sentence of the book. So do we assume that the character that reaches out to her at the very last moment of the book will reappear?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, that would be Juan.
We're not saying who that would be. You have to read the book.
Yes. The short answer is yes.
Okay.
But in a way that I'm going to have a lot of fun with over time. So I hope that people enjoy the books and will continue to read the stories, because
he was a
I have
surprise.
Ideas
he was quite
months.
Ambiguous, actually.
And
he was
quite
back
surprise.
And forth all over the place. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, we don't want to do spoilers.
No, we don't want
any more spoiler alerts.
Okay. Enough of murder justice. Now, let's talk about Patrick Brown.
Oh, my goodness.
I told you yesterday or the day before this might be coming. Yeah, just sit down, relax. I haven't mailed your coffee cup yet, but I will. It'll probably go out like Saturday. What got you into writing? And I know you say you started at an early age, but what really prompted you to get into starting to put together stories?
I remember we had this woman who was our, she came to our elementary school as a new teacher, and she wanted to do something called creative writing. And we had never heard about it. This was Oklahoma in the 70s, and nobody had ever heard of such a thing. And she had come from somewhere else, and so she had coal black hair with a big white streak up in the middle of her forehead. And so she wanted us all to go in,
Colleen Williams,
and learn how to write poems. And we did short stories, or little paragraphs. We had to write paragraphs, so we had to learn about paragraph formation, and we had to write these little what-if scenarios. And so I really enjoyed it, and I found that I was spending more time, because we might be assigned one. It was a flower about to be picked or a tomato about to be sliced, and you had to put yourself in that position and write. Well, I might do four or five of those paragraphs a week, and I didn't do my math homework in the meantime, so I was in trouble. And so I would spend more time on writing. And so as I took a typing class in high school, I would find that I was typing on an old Royal typewriter at home, because I thought I was practicing, but I was just making up stories and outlines and characters' names and whatnot. And when we were packing up to move here, I found a box of all that stuff and handwritten on legal pads and all that. Mm-hmm. So I've always had characters and ideas and stories, and I kind of am at ease with talking, so I can tell stories. But I finally started typing, I guess.
Let me stop you here. We've got a call coming in for you.
We have a caller.
So hang tough. Hi, this is Writer's Block. Who am I speaking to?
Hey, this is John Dawson.
Hello.
And I know Patrick. My wife and I are friends with Patrick. And since you're talking about himself, we can give you some texture about him.
Ah.
Oh, Patrick, are you still there? Oh, did we lose him?
Uh-oh.
Oh, it would be fun if he was on there, because I can rhythm too.
Well, let's see. We can get him back, I think. Hang tough here. Let me see if we can get him back. Oh. How the hell did I do that?
There must be a delay because I thought we were listening to you live.
You are listening to us live, it is a delay.
And there's like a little bit, just a.
No, let me see.
So if Patrick's listening, he needs to call back.
Patrick, if you're listening, call back.
Well, the funny part is we've been good friends of his for years. This guy is as talented as can be.
Uh-huh.
And when you get together with him, all he does is tell stories.
Oh, is that right?
He's got a million stories, you know. the book, if you read the book, it is like sitting next to Patrick. That's how he talks, and he'll tell you the story and the detail about every character and the nuances and what have you. So it's very, very fun, and I could rib him, but I'll leave it since he's not here to defend himself. I'll just say he is a very talented person, and you had a good guest on your show. So it was a lot of fun listening to you guys.
Oh, well, cool.
Thank you so much for calling. I know Jim's trying to get him back.
I'm trying to get him back on the phone. Let's see if I can get him on the phone here.
And do you live out his direction, or are you back?
We live in West Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so you're here in Hollywood.
You live here. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And how did you meet?
We met Patrick through a mutual friend.
Okay.
I went to high school with a mutual friend of Patrick's, and Gary introduced us.
Oh, got it.
And then we've known him for years.
Fun.
And he's become a good friend of my wife and I, and what have you. So
excellent.
Very fun. So he would be a good dinner guest if you wanted to have some people over.
He would be an excellent dinner guest. Not only is he a wonderful cook, he would have something to say about the food that's being prepared, if not prepared it himself. But he would be a wonderful guest and would keep the conversation going nonstop.
Well, then we need to get him down here for dinner.
Yeah, and I assume that he likes. We know he loves to garden, so I would guess that a lot of what he cooks maybe comes directly from his garden as well.
Does what it? You guys should do is include the his. He probably doesn't want me to say this, but you should put his Instagram link. You'll see how many talents he has. They live out in a small town in Washington State, Oregon,
right.
But they used to live in L.A.
Right.
Did you get him? Anyway,
he's here.
Is he here?
I can hear every word now.
Hello, Patrick. You're back.
I'm singing your praises, Patrick.
I just it's like I walked in the room and I heard that. But thank you so much.
we all want to have dinner with Patrick, I think.
Yeah, I think we do.
Well, yeah, so invite Patrick to dinner or a book signing, and you guys, it would be a guaranteed fun time. He will entertain in all aspects. That's all I got to say.
We can do that.
I'm going to run, but Patrick, it was great listening to you, and you too, we really enjoyed your show.
Well, thank you. You guys are
very entertaining hosts.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Appreciate Bye-bye. It. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, Patrick, that was quite fun. We hear that you're a wonderful guest.
We hear you're a great host.
And a dinner guest, yes.
Are you there?
Are we still?
I'm here.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was like, wow.
So you were sharing about the teacher and about writing the what-if stories and not doing math, and I totally can understand all of that. May we ask who some of your favorite authors are that inspire you or that you enjoy reading?
Well, I will tell you, the first, always nearly at the top of the list, is Flannery O'Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Patrick Dennis, even though he kind of went out of fashion those years ago. But I do like Patrick Dennis because I think that's really funny writing and keeps that. Florence King, who passed away early 2016, she was very funny, kind of a biting wit, and I appreciate that. And, Dorothy Parker.
Uh-huh.
So some of those. The people who always have kind of a smart mouth on them.
And is there a book you're currently reading that you would want to share the title of with us, if there's something on the bedstand or whatever now?
I just received a copy of Ali's Bees by Bruce Solheim, and it had just come out a couple of weeks ago, and he would make a great guest for your show. Yeah. He's a teacher at Citrus College there in L.A. County, and he is, this is more of a young adult book, an early reader's book, but I'm going to read this and give it a review.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great, great, we love that.
We're always looking for guests, but we're not looking for any now until April of next year.
Yeah, if you can believe, we're booked through April of next year, 2018.
You're very popular, Dan.
Is that next year, 2018? Yeah.
Yeah, 2018. Wow. We are actually, our booking manager and producer of the show, Jerry, she's just on it constantly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
we almost need to do more than one a week, Jim.
I know, huh?
Oh, do you have a question? You must have a question.
I only have a question in the fact that now that you've got a character that is really, really, really hit, Maggie Lyon, and you're going to do another book, or you're working on another book, will there be a series? Are we going into 3, 4, and 5 books?
I would like to, but I guess that depends on the readership and whether or not the publisher wants to continue spending that time and effort on it.
Okay.
But yes, because I already have an idea for the third book as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you work on one until it's done, Patrick, and then move to the second, or do you find that you're sort of multitasking writing?
What I do is right now it's promotion for Murder Justice while I'm finishing up the writing of what I'm going to call, what I think it will be called, Pennington's Hoax. And then there will be a third book, which I've already done the research on. I've been researching while writing and then promoting. So there are three layers of what is going on. And then I'm doing some stuff that I'm going to submit to see where I can get it to land as far as short stories. And then I do want to put together a short story collection. So things kind of occur to me. I usually get one fairly decent short story done a summer.
Are you also working a day job, or are you just strictly writing?
Right now I'm just strictly writing, but that's because of how everything kind of works out to that benefit right now. Mm-hmm. But I would like to take on something because even if it's just a small thing for a few hours, because part of what I do happens because I connect with people and I get in the world. Not
sure
that I'm writing about everybody, so I don't want to scare anybody off from friendship.
Sure.
Yeah.
But things happen to you in daily life, and I have found that not being with people in a concentrated thing like a work environment or something like that, I do feel that I don't get those quick anecdotes to write about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a really
I think
good,
you start losing your edge.
It's a really good observation. Does the title come to you first, or does the title become revealed as you're working on the book?
The second one for Pennington's Hoax, that came at the end, and really they all do, I think. Because I would like to think that I'm really clever, but I'm not that clever. It's just that I usually look through something and think, well, that would make a really good title.
I'm clever, but I'm not that clever. The Inner Musings of Patrick Brown. Hey, tell me about your daily process when you're sitting down to write. What is your day like?
Oh, my day. Well, I start early.
Yeah.
So I get up, and are you familiar with The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron?
Yes.
Yes.
A few years ago. So I do morning pages. I write those morning pages and get all that junk out of my head as quickly as I can. And then if I have chores or I'm chasing deer and rabbit through the yard, which happens frequently this time of the year, I get all that done. And then I finally get to the desk, and I have a couple of pen pals that I'll write to. And I'll probably get that kind of as a warm-up. And then I just kind of review what I did last, pick up to where I do. I tend to be a really nitpicky editor, so I tend to go back and fix things, and then I have to remember that I need to get something out, not edited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then I kind of start there. And then I just kind of I look at the outline, and I try to stay faithful to the outline, but I will often stray and let things happen as they will. And it might not work out.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, especially with a murder mystery, whether you knew from the beginning who, what, when, and where.
Yeah, who, what, when, where, why.
Or did it change along the way, and the person that was the murderer wasn't expected to be in your mind the murderer in the beginning, you know?
You know, in this book that we just finished, and I have to tell you, Murder Justice. At the end of this book, I almost had visions of you sitting there slapping your knees and saying, "That'll get them."
Yeah. I sort of had the same vision, like pushing his chair back and going, "Woo!
Time
for some wine.
That'll teach him to mess with me.
Time for some red wine or something."
Well, there was this came on. It was on BBC America about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and they had a mystery. And every week, I could never figure out who did it. And it was because I watched an interview with one of the actors or somebody, and I said, "If you'll notice, it all works out in the end, but that person wrote it from the end to the beginning." And I thought, well, if I can try that, maybe I'll be successful if I can figure out who did it at the beginning and work backward and then create motive from there.
So
that was my goal.
Got it.
Yeah, like I said, you're a fun writer. Now, you've got a book called Tossed Off the Edge.
Yes.
Go into a little bit of that book for me, if you would.
It is the story of Sheila Wozniak. She's been on daytime television for 40 years. And while she's America's sweetheart, everybody on the cast and crew hates that woman.
Mm-hmm.
They hate her because she has never moved off the stage. She has stayed center stage. She's won all these awards. She's there. But she's got a lot of problems. But she also has a little bit of a problem with reality. So she kind of fades in. So she gets fired from the show for technical reasons. And then she decides she has nothing to do, so she snags the head writer who's been writing her stories and dialogue for 20 years. She gets him to write her biography. And from there, you can't tell what's real or what's not real.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
What a great premise. And there certainly are some folks in daytime TV still
that
today that,
forever.
You know, and you can turn one on you haven't seen in 20 years and go, "Oh, I don't think anything's changed."
Yeah. They're still doing pregnant pauses Susan Lucci.
I used to work with somebody that had been in the job longer than anybody in that whole department. And every time you would try something new, it'd be like, "Oh, this is how we do it. We've always done it this way."
Right.
And I came home one day and I thought, "Oh, my gosh, I just can't stand not to have new ideas."
Yeah.
And so I had written a first chapter and put it away because I thought it was kind of amusing. And then one day I was in Studio City at the Barnes & Noble, and I saw one of the, she's now passed away, but she was one of the soap opera actresses who'd been on, I guess, since probably the 70s. And her biography and a book signing was going on. And I thought, that's it.
Oh.
I need to write a fake biography. So I thought I could have a lot of fun with that.
Well, you did. Hey, look, we're going to be running out of time here. Why don't you give our listeners...
Are you going to ask him the question?
Yes, I told you that I was going to ask you this question. Have you ever run into writer's block?
Oh, frequently.
Oh, well, what do you do to get out of it?
What do you do?
The biggest thing that I can do, which is just a kind of... and it helps to, that's why I do a lot of email correspondence. It helps me to kind of get out of my head for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes pick up something that you're complaining to someone about, but then it might make a very funny story. Somebody that you find completely exasperating. And then you can kind of pick up maybe a physical quirk or a trait or something, and then you can turn that into something interesting. And then you kind of work back from there. And then by that time, my brain's relaxed enough that I might either finish that or I've figured out where to go back to with some of the projects.
Oh, okay. That works. Why don't you give our audience, our big, huge 400,000-plus listener audience.
And growing by the show.
Where they can find you, email address, Facebook, webpage, et cetera.
Yes. My Facebook page is written by Patrick Brown. My blog is called One More Thing to Read. I named it that because we all have too much stuff to read, and there's one more thing to read. And that is www.writtenbypatrickbrown.com. I'm on Twitter, which is @PatrickWrote. I think that's where I live. Oh, I'm also on Goodreads, so you can find me through the book titles on Goodreads.
Okay.
Goodreads.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us and taking your time to sit and chat with us if needing. It's been a hoot. It's been a real hoot.
I can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, get that sucker written.
Well,
I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated.
Okay. Well, yeah, make sure the bookie knows so she can get you booked next year.
And feel free to, you know, post on the Writer's Block Facebook page on anything, a book signing you have coming up, or, you know, or that you just released another blog entry, or, you know, please, we'd really love our guests to remember to put something there to help keep that really lively and interesting.
And to call us if they have something,
you know,
going on.
Conversation. Yeah, and you can always call in.
You can always call us in the studio on Thursdays and let us know what's going on.
One day we'll know how to answer the phone seamlessly.
One day we will. But it's
thank
Skype.
Thank you so much, and I'll do that. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us, Patrick. It's been great.
Thank you. Have a good rest of the evening.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Patrick Brown. What a guy.
What fun.
He is. He's a lot of fun.
I don't think I can keep sitting on the edge of the chair, though, waiting for that next book.
I know. The guy is just like...
I want to know where Maggie goes next.
I know.
Me too. What does she get involved in?
Me too. But that was a good question about the guy at the last line in the book. That actually threw me.
You know, because I was reading it as a PDF, and I had to keep scrolling down to just be sure that I wasn't missing, you know, like, that's it? That last line? I would be sure that I'm not missing anything else.
Is there a response?
So if you're listening tonight and you weren't sure if you would want to invest in that book, we hope that you now know.
It is a great investment.
To Get Murdered Justice by Patrick Brown.
It is a fun read, and you'll love it. It's just got so much going on with it. It never gets boring, ever.
No.
Ever. So next week we have a returning guest, Chuck Walsh. And the book that he has recently finished is called, what is it called?
Oh, my goodness. I'm embarrassed to say.
Black Mingo Creek.
There you go.
And I'm about two-thirds of the way through it.
And I'll be starting it tonight.
And it's a pretty good story. It takes place in South Carolina. And
it's a murder mystery. We've had Chuck on before. And
Chuck's fun.
Very entertaining read and guest.
Chuck's really fun. And then following week on the 24th, big guest, we have Craig Johnson, the originator of the Longmire character and the Longmire Mysteries, and he'll be with us, and Craig's a great guy. He lives in a little town in Wyoming, has like 25 people in it, and the guy's like totally fun. He's just a really good guest. August 31st, we have Mike Bond, and he is one of the more prolific spy-type combat military writers around. The guy is just awesome. And his book, Assassins, I'm about, I'd say, three-quarters of the way through it. And it just keeps going. And it just keeps you right there. And he's written another book called Snow.
A terrifying 10-day manhunt from the Rocky Mountain wilderness to Wall Street and Las Vegas. Snow.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's the one I'll
I wish I had an organ right now.
Mike Bond, master of the storytelling craft.
Great.
So says the Midwest Book Review.
Great writer. Although Assassins is what I'm reading, that and that's 585 pages.
I'm going to read
very
Snow.
Small print.
So we'll
I
both
add.
Be. We'll, we will both have read his.
Yes.
Books.
On September 7th, we have a very special show coming up. That's a two-hour special. We have Richard Polinelli with us again. Kathleen Rogers will be calling in. Of course, if you'd like to call in, you're a writer, a producer, a publisher, an agent, that's the night for you guys to be calling in and talking to us. We have open lines that night, and we really would like to get your ideas and stuff going on. And that number to call in on is 818-602-4929. And we'll be here for 2 hours talking to just about everybody under the sun who really wants to take the time to give us a call. For a teaser, we have coming up next week, her name is Bianca Murray. I believe that's how it's pronounced. I would assume so. It's French. Her book, Hum, If You Don't Know the Words, it's about growing up in South Africa, the apartheid years, as a young child. And we have on April, a big author coming in. John Sanford will be with us. He writes all the Prey novels, Lucas Davenport, and he's Virgil Flowers, and several other characters, and then standalone books to go along with those. So John Sanford will be with us in April of 2018. Wow.
And we wanted to mention Richard Polinelli's contest.
That's right. And Richard Polinelli has came in the finalist on a science fiction
cover contest.
And you can vote if you would, please. If you want to go to www.awards.com. dragoncon.org. That's DRAGONCON. DragonCon. So it's awards.dragoncon.org. And vote for Richard's cover.
The Infinity.
Escaping Infinity.
Escaping Infinity is a fabulous book and a fabulous cover.
And
vote for Richard.
And of course, Richard is the other owner of Tuscany Bay Books. Mm-hmm. And so he'd be happy to have your input and, of course, your vote. And he could be running for president in 2 more years. Who knows? In which case, we probably won't vote for him.
We may need an author in the White House again.
That's right. We have not much else going on. We have just, well, actually, September is going to be a busy night for us. You have your concert coming up
in
2 weeks.
We have our concert August 25th with a local wonderful singer-songwriter named John Zipperer. And he's folk and blues and a little bit of Western and a little bit of rock and roll, and just going to be a really, really fun night.
Did you say Marie Osmond?
And then we're dark in September, and then we finish out our year with Almeda Bradshaw, who has been a guest on the show, coming in from Montana to do a really special evening.
I want tickets for that one.
Okay, you got them.
I want tickets for that one. Good. Almeda sat right here next to me, and we had a great time.
Wonderful time.
She's just a wonderful lady.
That's going to be a great evening.
Just a terrific musician.
Yeah, and she's also a poet.
And she is.
A writer.
She is. Mm-hmm. That is going to be it for us tonight. This is another Thursday night. We've just shot right in the old butteroo, and we'll be looking for you next week. Oh, I got these two guys are over here cracking up. And it's okay because we do that. And if we are going to be back here next Thursday at 7 p.m. right here, Writer's Block on LA Talk Radio.